Hello and welcome back. Episode 112 of the Pickers Market.
Nice.
Anyways, listeners and viewers probably expected our newbies today because that's what we teased last week and the week before. Anyways, there are some scheduling things.
Yeah.
So it's the old crew.
Yeah, still. It's the old crew. When everybody's listening and they're on, that's when they'll be on because who knows what the scheduling is.
Exactly. So. But they will be on at some point shortly. Exactly. So keep on viewing. That will sure be a good episode. So until then, you have to be happy with the old crew.
Just us.
Anyways, Tyler, Keith, and Lisa.
Yep.
So, two truth and a lie, guys. And I brought a special episode on something that we may or may not talk about today because Lisa went a little bit off the rails with her topics today. But if not this time, we have it in a future time. But I brought a special episode on levered ETFs.
That's going to be a good one.
Two truths and a lie. So let's start off. A. In a choppy market, a 3x levered ETF can lose money while the index posts a gain. B.
3x long ETF?
Yes. A 3x levered ETF is designed to deliver approximately 3x the cumulative return of its benchmark over any holding period. Or C. In South Korea, the government requires that retail investors take a test before allowed to invest in levered products. Keith, you look scared. I've stuck with you.
I'm not. I'm confident in this one.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if my confidence turns into correct answer.
I tried to make it evil, but apparently it was not so successful.
The only reason I'm confident is because I've played with...
Dabbled?
I've dabbled. Dabbled is a good word. Dabbled with these 3x levered, long and short. And they do some peculiar things. Mm-hmm. So it's just be careful with them. And I only do it in small amounts in my own account, not for clients' money. So let's put that out there first. All right. We'll start with B, a 3x leverage ETF is designed to deliver approximately 3x the return. I think that's true. It's approximate. It's not exact, which if you hold them, the longer you hold them, generally the less true they are,
exact
I would say.
They are.
Exact. That's a good word. The one I'm not sure about, though, is C in South Korea government requires. I think that's you're trying to trick us. I think that's probably actually true, too, because I'm going in a choppy market a 3x. I think what you mean 3x ETF, a 3x long ETF, not a 3x mm-hmm. short, right? You can lose money. I think that's possible. I think I may have done something similar to that once where it's I should be up slightly, you know, slightly down. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying A is false.
A is okay. Tyler?
Yeah, I'm with A, too.
Okay.
Wow. Did we get tricked or did we?
You were so confident, but I got you both.
What?
Yep. It's actually B that is the lie. And the trick here was
the cumulative?
The over any holding period. And that is wrong. Because any holding period could also mean 1 year or 2 years. And a 3x levered ETF is not designed to deliver approximately 3x the cumulative return of its benchmark over any holding period. It's usually daily resets.
Yeah, no, it's quicker. The longer
exactly.
you hold them,
you hold them, it's probably not 3x the cumulative return anymore. So it's any in holding period that is the issue here.
So South Korea thing is true.
South Korea is true. And in a choppy market, actually a 3x levered ETF can lose money while the index posts again. It depends on... You know, when the index is up and down, and we can talk a little bit about
that. I did say that was later, the case, and I answered.
And then it can still be down.
Still not sure about your B on your length of time, though.
Yeah.
That's,
resets daily, but.
You're still be close, approximately. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's 3X. Up 1x and you go 3 years.
I don't know if I put the chart in here. But
I know the longer you hold it.
She didn't put the chart in there.
You see, with that chart, for example, you see, hey, Tesla actually posted a gain. The underlying 2x levered ETF is still pretty much down.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So the longer this goes on, it's not 3x the cumulative return up or down anymore because it deviates. It starts to deviate quite dramatically. So it's the any holding period that is the problem here. That was pretty evil.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I like the South Korea thing. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Yeah.
Probably not a bad idea,
actually.
Wall Street Journal actually had an article that actually put the questionnaire in there that you can test yourself.
Did you pass?
Yes, but it had...
Well, she's not going to say no.
But it had, I think, 10 questions. And they were not that easy, to be honest. If you're not in the finance area, you know, it's not that easy to figure out, okay, what it is. But it's 10 questions, I think, and then you get a score and then you need to pass that before you invest in those. But we can...
I wonder how often you can take that test.
Yeah, that I don't know, all the specifics.
Better that you get fail the questions, you Google it.
You see the right answers and you're like, all right.
I'm good to go.
I'm ready.
3x leverage, here I come. So anyways, we have today of recording July 1st. So the first half year of 2026 is already in the books. Can you imagine? It kind of flew by. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? Let's do a little mid-year update, check-in, a little review and a little outlook of where things stand today and what we think could happen in the second half. So I brought our overall listeners and viewers cannot see it, but what we usually show in the beginning of insight series and stuff, just an overview of how major asset classes are doing. And U.S. large cap stocks are up about 9% for a little bit more than that. That's actually not of 630. U.S. small cap stocks nearly up 22%, very much outperforming. International developed still fine. Emerging markets outperforming with a wider margin. Bonds up. Gold and Bitcoin is down.
Uh-oh,
for a year.
Gold. Lisa.
Lisa does not like to see that, but unfortunately, gold is down a little bit and Bitcoin a little more. So let's talk a little bit about what happened so far. Keith, do you wanna share a little bit of a recap? What happened in 2026? What were your highlights? What was the market most concerned about?
Yeah, no, it's a good topic. It's a midpoint of the year, so we always like to do an update. And I'm right now, I'll go back after this podcast and finish writing my monthly commentary and kind of encapsulate what's going on. There's been a lot of stuff going on this year. It's crazy to think about it. And the net takeaway, if you're, you know, close your eyes, open up, you know, today and say, okay, markets are up 9-10%.
But there was a lot happening for these 9%.
There was a lot happening. It kind of reminds me a little bit of last year, right? Yeah. Of 2025, the first half of the year, I think I just went back and looked. The S&P was up about 6-7%. But do you remember the downdraft?
In April 2025? Yeah. You don't see that on the surface.
No. And then this year, I think we had the Iran conflict. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that kind of surprised me a bit this year is the outperformance of some of those names. I think you've kind of alluded to a little bit on some of these memory/computing technology names. Last couple of years has been all about the Mag 7.
Yep. Lagging now.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's a moniker calling them the Leg 7, right? But I just looked too, they also are up still year to date 12% as a whole. But recently they certainly have lagged. And I think other names are up 100, 200, 300, 700%, which is mind boggling to think. So AI is still a theme, but it's shifted from the mega cap Mag 7, kind of the hyperscalers, the ones that were buying the compute. Now I think their cash flow is actually going down. So I think investors
are...
To the picks and shovels, the guys that are actually, you know, the semiconductors piece outside of NVIDIA. We always talked to NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. Now NVIDIA has been fine, but these other names are up, like I said, 1, 2, 5, 700%, which is a little shocking because I've been doing it a long time. Those are pretty much, I would say they're very cyclical, very sensitive to price change. And obviously the pricing power right now is off the charts, but that cuts two ways.
Yeah.
So I'm in the camp that I've been in the wrong camp that's going to start.
But do you think like
way.
When we talk about chips that are, to your point, like usually very cyclical and ups and downs, do you think that with the whole AI built out right now and just the craziness of everyone is trying to snatch these chips left and right, and with the data center built out, do you think that story needs to be rewritten of how the usual ebbs and flows in chips go, that can be a prolonged, or maybe the script has to be rewritten completely because of AI and how cyclical usually semi chips are in the semi industry is?
I think they're less cyclical, but I still think there's cyclicality that people aren't appreciating. And then the pricing power that there's going to be some disruption. I don't know what it's going to be, whether it's the big guys cutting back their CapEx or an alternative or something, but their pricing power will remain this strong for as long as what investors are telling you today. Mm-hmm. We'll see. So I think those are kind of the big stories. You've also, the Fed has gone from dovish to hawkish. Yep. I think that's another big story.
A new Fed chair.
So there's a lot of stuff going on that you would think would be headwinds for the market. Iran conflict, another one. Markets are higher. Yep. So that's kind of what first half sum up for me.
Tyler, anything to add here from highlights or what the market was concerned or excited about or...
Yeah. I mean, to your point on the cyclicality, I mean, I don't want to talk too much on chips just because I feel like we've been talking about it for so long. But even in like a super cycle, like AI, you can still have cyclicality. Like, so I just wrote the market reflection on semis. So traditionally what semis do is you have a shockwave of demand. Supply is behind because it's true manufacturing, and especially specifically for these chips, it's high power chips. It's not, they're specialty chips. It's not just like your run of the mill off the shelf type of stuff. So it takes time to actually build them. And all of a sudden there's been a shift in data centers from the GPUs to CPUs. And so none of these companies were expecting this big shift in demand. Maybe they were, but you would think that they would have built for it. Yeah. But either way, at some point, these guys are going to, they're shifting all of their manufacturing capacity to building these specialized high-powered computing chips. So at some point, you're going to flood the market with too many because you have, yes, there are a few companies that are specific niche areas, but at some point, there's going to be, even in this super cycle of AI, you're going to have this, maybe not oversupply, but they're going to start to lose their pricing power, which reduces their growth. So you and I are kind of on the same page of the chips, but I'm a bit, from the first half, I'm a bit surprised in the shift of the Fed, number one. We've been so focused on employment over inflation. For some reason, the Fed is now focused on inflation versus employment. Yet the inflation, I would call more transitory.
I don't want
to use that word. Right. But I mean, you've got oil back around $70 a barrel, mm-hmm. which means your core CPI or your headline CPI is going to start to come down at some point because you're not going to be having the shocks from oil. Yes, food could still be inflationary, but if we start opening up shipping lanes, your nitrogen fertilizer prices start to normalize. So I don't know. I'm just a little bit shocked that the market is pricing in a, like the 3 month, 6 month treasuries are pricing in a hike, which is a bit surprising to me with the 60 day ceasefire-ish deal, even though it's not really a ceasefire.
Ceasefire with every once in a while they fire at each other.
We check each other. I don't know. I'm a bit surprised of that. And then I'm actually surprised with where the market is at. I didn't expect it to be this strong. I think all of us came into the year expecting a positive year based on fundamentals. But I think the earnings growth rate has been a kind of a slap in the face of how strong it's been, going from 13% coming into the year. Now we're sitting at 22%. And first quarter was 28% year over year. I think that was just... I don't know anybody that expected that.
No, and it's been revised up and up and up. Because I was just looking at before we came down here, it was sub 20, and now we're up by 7 points in not that long a period.
Yeah. So I think my first half was just, again, the market teaches you every year mm-hmm. how much you can be wrong and to what extent. And so I think it's been another learning year, or at least first half of the year, to, you know, markets do what they want to do despite your opinions.
And the other thing I think is kind of worth pointing out, what you and I were talking about yesterday, is kind of the market broadening out and some of these kind of...
That was a huge theme that we discussed it coming into the year, and it's still in swing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Tyler and I were looking at, you know, one of our large cap value portfolio. It was up more than... surprised me how much it was up.
18%.
And then, you know, Lisa can talk on... What are you thinking? What you're seeing value, which is that, and then small cap. What the number that you kind of pointed out yesterday
about
is
22% up. You mean that?
Yeah, small caps are up 22%.
Yeah,
in the first half of the year, which is the strongest, what, since 1991, I think is what you had in your notes. No, I saw it. I read this morning too.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, think about that perspective. You know, it's like the last couple of years.
Best half year since 1991 for small caps.
Yeah. So that's a big, so that's Russell 2000. Yeah. So it's been mega cap for the last couple of years, transition, which I'm very encouraged that the market's, you know, this is our best case scenario, I think, was where we talked about, and we were fairly bullish going into this year that markets would broaden out, but it's broadening out even quicker in some areas I didn't think.
And we waited long enough for this, right?
And we waited long. Yeah, but that's, I mean, the fact that you can have the Mag 7 be the Leg 7 and not tank the market is, I think it's very encouraging. So,
Keith, what are your, so thinking of, and we had kind of a review of the big themes of the first half year. When we think of the second half now, what is your base case? Just very quick, or what are some tailwinds that you see possible? Also some headwinds where we could, you know, have some pitfalls along the road.
Yeah, I you know, simple math and kind of what forecast for going this year, we're kind of mid to high teens, and we say we did 10 this first half. I think we can do 10 the second half, which I think is a surprise to a lot of people after doing the market doing is 26, 25, and 18. Yeah. We have another high, you know, teens.
That's the recency kind of bias, right? Everyone is expecting that going forward, but that's
but like, I mean, at some point in time, that's going to break. Mm-hmm. But I think you guys touched on it. The rationale is because of earnings growth rate is so strong. That's outweighing the Iran situation. Mm-hmm. Price of oil now, if it stays closer to 70, I think that went from a non-event going into the year to certainly a big headwind. To I think it's could potentially be a non-event again, and then to what I agree with Tyler too on the what does that mean for interest rates? I think that the Fed, if that's going to be the case, I think that takes the focus off inflation back to employment. So mm-hmm. I'm not in the can again. You know,
one or two?
No. I'm still at zero, but I mean you are at three. But I'm more in the camp they would cut before they actually raise. Put it that way, and the market's pricing a raise. So I disagree with that. So I'm more in line with your thinking that they should be focused less on inflation, more on employment. So yeah, I'm very positive. I think I think we'll get another downdraft of some sort. Mm-hmm. I think what, you know, again, beating a dead horse here on this part of the semiconductor trade, I think that's completely, it's valid, but for me, there's reason and concern. I think that, there's a little bit of, it feels like the market's like this FOMO, fear of missing out. I got to buy it. Stocks are cheap because the earnings are growing so fast, but I don't think they realize the leverage of one price when those tripling of what you're getting for your widget is now, oh, by the way, you're going to get half of what you wanted us to. And at some point in time, the big guys with their cash flow, they're going to have to take a serious look if they're not generating revenue. That's where I think could be not a black swan, but something that people don't expect, that maybe they're
slowing CapEx.
CapEx, not like a disaster, but just incrementally a little bit of a slower flattening, which no one's expecting. I think that could put that pressure on these high flying names that are up 1, 2, 500, 800% year to date. I think that could reverse some. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of my second half thoughts and outlook and prediction.
Tyler, maybe focus a little bit because you're our in-house fixed income expert. And also a little bit of a cryptocurrency expert because you managed to do the discovery. So if you can maybe also focus a little bit on fixed income with your outlook and potential pitfalls and maybe give an update of what's going on with crypto, Bitcoin specifically.
Yeah, I don't think this happens this year necessarily, but despite my 3 rate cut call.
Are you still, just checking in, are you still with it or?
Oh wow. He's on the spot. He's wavering. Normally he's a confident answer.
I'm going to stick to it.
Okay. Yeah.
If we get 3 rate cuts, you think the market's going to be higher or lower than New York today?
I still think higher.
You think with 3 rate cuts, we could actually go higher. Mm-hmm. See, I think if we start going down that road, that there's a little bit of a problem. So then I question my bullish state.
It's not that it's necessarily, the Fed has a mandate to keep as many people employed as they possibly can, essentially. The other side of that is keeping prices steady as much as they can. The last Fed shifted after 2022, 2023, they shifted to the employment side of the bucket, if you will. Bucket A is inflation. Bucket B is employment. They shifted from bucket A to bucket B because inflation was coming down. They essentially did their job, even though they weren't at their target. So with Warsh coming in, he's shifted back to bucket A because of oil prices being higher, food prices being higher, even though the Fed doesn't focus on oil and food, which doesn't make sense to me.
And which every individual out there certainly does.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But they don't, they don't have control over it, right? Yeah. If they do quantitative tightening or quantitative easing, or if they do higher interest rates or lower interest rates, it doesn't affect the price of oil or it doesn't affect the price of food because that is a commodity driven thing. Now you can argue that oil goes into all of, like I have before, oil goes into a lot of different products, right? Bring up Landman, that whole ordeal. But it's not that there's an issue with the employment market in a bad way. It's that if you look at the younger population, that's the highest rate of unemployment. They cannot get jobs because companies, instead of hiring those people to train them, bring them in and groom them into the employee that they want to have, they're just saying, we'll use AI. Or they're not doing the projects that they normally would have because interest rates are higher. Obviously, we're seeing the AI wave, which is fine, but you're not seeing projects outside of AI. So they're not hiring people to do those projects because they're not doing them. And then the people that they normally would hire to do low-level jobs, they're using AI to do it. So you're not seeing the hiring, but you're not necessarily seeing the firing. But the Fed wants to make sure that we continue to grow our economy. And if we're not hiring people, you're not getting the wage growth because you're not getting competition. So you're not getting wage growth to then, because we as Americans like to spend our money. So if wage growth is sitting at 3.5% instead of 5, but yet you have prices going up a bit, you're probably not going to be spending as much as you normally would. Right. So they want to get the employment cycle moving. They also want to get the real estate cycle moving because real estate is a big portion of our economic growth and just our overall economy. So that's where the 3 interest rate call comes from, is in the back half of the year, they're going to start to shift their focus from the inflation talk to saying, as this issue continues, we're not going to be getting the economic growth that we want. Yes, inflation is still heightened. We're not at our 2% target, but at the end of the day, if we're no longer anchored to that 2% inflation, maybe we anchor to 3%, then we need even more wage growth. So then we need to get our employment cycle moving even more aggressively. So that's where the 3% or the 3 rate cut comes from in my head.
All right. Good argument.
Going to the fixed income side though. So even despite the three interest rate cuts, I still think there is more risk to the upside on the 10-year treasury, meaning we're closer to hitting 5% than we are 4%.
We're at 440 or 437 right now, yeah. I think.
So even though everybody, president, his administration wants interest rates, the 30-year mortgage rate to be lower, I don't think we're going to get there because I do think that we don't talk about the tariffs a lot. There still are tariffs across the board.
They disappeared.
Completely on the back burner. Yeah.
And so we're shifting our trade. We're onshoring, which means we need to do less trading with other countries, which means those countries need to buy less treasuries. And so in order to, and that gives us an issue with our debt. And so we've done so much trade outside of the US that it's allowed us to basically spend money without having to worry about it. But at some point, investors are going to say, well, you're not doing trade with us as much as you once were. We don't have the surplus with you. So why do we need to buy as many treasuries as we once had to? And so what that's going to do is it's going to question, can we actually pay back the debt, which we never will? And what do I, as the other country, get for buying your treasuries if you're not doing as much trade with me? Well, I want a higher interest rate, a higher yield on the debt that you're issuing to entice me to buy it. And so it's going to push interest rates up. Now, does that happen this year? I don't know if we hit 5% this year, but certainly in the next couple of years, I think we need to watch out for that 5, and you could even call for the 6% in the next like 5 years interest rate on the 10-year treasury. So that's what I worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you bring that up, and the debt, we don't want to go in there because that's a whole long conversation. But if you looked at the US dollar recently, it's been surprisingly strong, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I think that's another, the markets always do surprise. Literally, yeah. I mean, I think the one, it's 101, it was not too long ago at 94, people were freaking out that, US dollar is going down again because it was at 108 down to that 94. Now we're at 101.
Which is a headwind for investing in international equities.
Yes. So just there's a lot of stuff going on. And in the end of the day, I think if we had to point to one thing, it's earnings.
Yeah. And that's why I think despite the 3 rate cuts, I think your earnings are driving everything. Yes. You could get some small pullbacks on, the Fed comes out and says we need to cut interest rates and do this and that. But at the end of the day, the 22% expectation of earnings growth, and we got 28% in Q1. Like that's what's driving the market. Yeah. So,
a note on long-winded Bitcoin way of saying, too.
Bitcoin. Yeah, I think the love affair that people have had with it the last 4 or 5 years, I think people are shifting their investments to focus on AI and
So it's a source of funds more than anything else at this point.
It was fun. It was speculative. And I think blockchain itself, like NASDAQ is going to the blockchain, right? All the tickers on the NASDAQ are switching over, but it's just not driving the prices anymore because it's been just so speculative. Mm-hmm. So I think people are just using that as a way to shift their focus.
Good.
Well, Lisa, you got anything fun for us?
I do, as a matter of fact. So I think I've hit my personal best with a lot of topics prepared.
Keith has his topics ready for next week.
So Keith has his topics ready for next week because what I teased in a 2 truths and a lie, talk about levered ETFs, that's a whole lot of conversation that we obviously
dig into that.
Dive very deep into that. And
apparently I own some.
Yeah, we're
good and bad.
Me too. So I have a couple of stories there. So anyways, that will be a discussion for another day. So we can really go deep into that. So for our listeners, be back because that's something interesting coming up. But
is that going to be next week? Or are we having the new people on next week?
We don't know. That's a fluid situation.
We're just rolling with whatever.
We don't want to disappoint the listeners if they're waiting for the newbies.
We just want you back because it will be good, whatever it is.
Whoever's here, it'll be good.
So anyways, For now, for the fun stuff, hey, heat and humidity has arrived in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We had some pretty weird weather things going on, and you might not think so because if our viewers look at what I wear today, I wear a turtleneck in the office, so you would not think it's July in Minnesota, but actually the office is pretty cold, so that's the reason for that. But outside, it's hot, it's humid, we had rain, we have it all. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you dealing with the heat?
And it falls on a weekend too, right? So it's even...
Well, Saturday is actually supposed to be... I was looking at the... Like throughout the day, we're only supposed to get rain Saturday morning.
Yep.
And then it's supposed to be
beautiful.
Gorgeous after that.
No, I'm excited. Fourth of July is always a fun... I think one of my favorite holidays. It's because it's, it's summer, which I enjoy in Minnesota. It's lake time. It's family time usually and a little bit of fireworks. So I'm looking forward to it. And that's kind of the main things I have going on. And I'm not a huge fan. I love the heat, but the humidity is always a little bit of a drag on this time of weather. So hopefully that kind of blows through and we get just the hot weather. Cause when you get that hot, humid weather, even if you live on a lake, you jump in a lake and you kind of get out, it's just like,
it's still not, you don't dry.
It's not very refreshing. It's wet. So that's
And it's a special 4th of July. It's America's 250th birthday. So anything special planned or are you doing a traditional family get together?
No, just a traditional barbecue, boating, kids over, friends over, vice versa.
Shooting fireworks?
No, we used to, but we used to, the more the Minnesota version of them, so just not too much. And I still have some I'll probably shoot off, but not many. I know some people really go out. You and I had dinner a few weeks ago with
one of our advisors. He is going all in.
Yeah, he's got programs and I don't know what he's pickup fulls of fireworks. So it's, yeah, it's like a pretty fun event. So I wish.
Looking forward to the videos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That should be good. So that's kind of where I'm at. How about you? What do you?
So Mr. D wants to.
That's her husband.
Yep. Wants to go to the Badlands and to the Black Hills, and it's one of the hottest weekends of the.
It's a bad spot to be.
Do you want to camp too in a tent?
Yes, he wants to tent. Oh, and I was like, God. Why are you choosing always the hottest day of the year to do stuff like that?
Isn't it
you
called
know?
Badlands for a reason?
No.
Yeah, right. And Black Hills and stuff. And I was
haven't
like,
you been out there too already?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm like,
might as well go to Death Valley.
Yeah, right. Might as well make it as miserable as possible, right? So anyway, so if I cannot convince him of another thing. You know, usually once a year I give in and go camping with him just so he leaves me alone for the rest of the year on that front. But anyways, I think that's upon me. Tyler, how about you?
Honestly, I think just having some family over. Mm-hmm. I think some of the neighbors are doing some stuff. So we might do like a... So in our neighborhood, we have a bunch of different families that have young kids. So... Mike over to this person's house for a bit, and then this person, and then
that's cool.
I did just get a new fire pit for my deck, so I'm pretty excited about that. So
it's not hot enough for you yet. You need a fire pit.
I mean, boys were out there roasting marshmallows last night. It was
good stuff.
So I might have to sit around that for a bit.
Lisa, I think we should one more quick bonus thing before we leave is when we talk about your trip last week and kind of how can we forget about this?
Oh,
I think this
God.
Is such a cool event, especially since you're not a huge sports fan. So why don't you tell us what you did last week?
I'm not a huge sports fan, but obviously
and how it was.
As a European, the soccer DNA is somewhere still in me.
Very, so, very deep somewhere, but it's there.
So last Saturday was Mr. D's birthday. And we wanted to do something special. And
Mr. D, his name is Dominic.
Yeah, his name is Dominic.
Call him Mr. D.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Just throwing that out there.
Yep. His name is Dominic. For whatever reason, he's Mr. D. good for clarification, by the way. Yep.
Yeah. 85 episodes.
Who is that dude?
We're using that pretty heavy right now, so.
So anyways, it was his birthday and we wanted to do something special. And Austria was playing Algeria in Kansas City. And, you know, it's basically in front of the door to Minnesota. It's just a 6-7 hour drive. So we were like deciding, hey, you know what? Let's go down there. Let's get tickets and let's do it, you know. And
full send away you went.
Yep. And again, like we are both not huge soccer fans, but it's still very special because usually Austria does not qualify for the World Cup all that often. So that is special. And it was the last group stage game. And they actually, it was such a very exciting game, and they made it to the knockout phase. First time in over 40 years. That's very special for us. And it was a good feeling. There were a lot of Austrian fans coming over from Austria and Algerian fans coming over from Algeria. And everyone, like all the fans were happy because both countries made it out of the group phase, both countries advanced. So it was a good vibe. Also, after the game, everyone was happy. It was just a very special moment. And we probably just did it once because it was not that cheap. Mm-hmm. But I think we are happy that we did it. And it was just a cool experience.
Yeah, I think it's so cool that your home country that you had to go see them, right? Not even being a huge fan, but just that atmosphere.
Right. And it's just a little, you know, patriotic thing to see your home country kind of actually win and you know, kind of not disappoint, which is usually the case.
Speaking of that, Tyler, USA, I think, plays tonight.
They do at 7 o'clock.
All right. You going to watch?
Lisa tried telling me that they got knocked out yesterday.
No,
Lisa.
Sorry. I mixed it up with someone else. No, US is still in there. All good. You guys are still.
Maybe she's making a prediction. Who are we even playing? Do you know?
Is it Bolivia?
Is it Bolivia?
It's like Bosnia. Bosnia. Yep. And if the US wins, it's Egypt, Belgium, or Senegal.
Is there any chance of win-win? Maybe
I think so.
Is there?
Yeah.
We're kind of the favorite of that four, maybe?
What they've been talking about is a lot of the winners, the path to win, you get a relatively easier path, and US is on a pretty easy ish path.
So theoretically,
we should be able to make it.
But a lot of the, you know, the predicted winners of the World Cup are already out. Netherlands, Germany.
Oh.
Yeah, Germany's out, which...
It's kind of, you get the love hate for the Germans.
You know, every Austrian was having a blast hearing that. Oh, we love our German neighbors, but you know, it's a little friendly competition.
I get it.
Okay. Anyways, we're back next week. Either it's us, either it's the newbies, whatever we talk about. There'll be somebody
here. Someone's here.
Yeah, someone's here. Like, subscribe, and be back.
Investing involves the risk of loss. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be regarded as personalized investment advice or relied upon for investment decisions. Jeremy Bryan, Tyler Ellegaard, Keith Gangle, Lisa Schreiber, and David Ama are employees of Gradient Investments, LLC, and may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. All opinions expressed by them and their guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of Gradient Investments, LLC. Please consult your independent investment advisor before making any investment decisions. The information herein is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the sole basis for making an investment decision. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. For more information, please request a copy of Gradient Investments ADV Part 2A. Gradient Investments LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor.